Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Thank you, guys. Please be seated. And it's great to be here. It's great to see everybody. And yeah, it's an amazing, you know, the presence of God here is amazing. And do you know what? I love learning more about God. Okay, who knows, there's always more to learn about him. And this week, God has been drawing me into this teaching on the glory. And I didn't realize that you could ask for and receive more than the presence. You think the presence is it? No, there's a glory. There's that, the presence that comes that totally and utterly arrests you. And that's what I believe God wants for us, that we would receive that. Anyone up for that, guys? Yeah. Come on, let's be in for it, for all that God is going to give us. And before Joe gets up to do our reading today, just want to say that, you know, so with Colin, you're going to hear a little bit about someone else that's similar in a minute, but Colin knows everybody. I mean, he just did that. They know him as the happy man, you know. Do you know why they call him the happy man? There you go, look at that. You are awake, yeah, because he's happy. And so, but the thing is this, like, I've watched Colin, we've had lunch many times in this little sandwich bar down in Basildon when we go down there. And everybody knows him. And I've said to Colin, it's really time to cash in on them friends you've got. It's time. And I could see that it wasn't easy for Colin to do it. His face didn't distort, but it did actually. It was like, oh no, I've got to start letting these people know that I'm a Christian and invite them on to Alpha and all that kind of stuff. And so he did. And you see the surprise a couple of weeks later where he's saying, actually, this one has said yes, and that one has said, and this one has said. And now there's a few. It's just amazing to see. And all right, he asked 10, and some said no. Who cares? 6 said yes. Come on. And so I just encourage you to go for it. It is time to cash in. I'm going to say that again in a minute. But so we're going to continue with our series, Signs of the Kingdom. And what we mean by that, the signs of the kingdom. Did you know that Jesus spent 40 days teaching about the kingdom? That's why we've had a long series with this. 40 days before he rose up again. That was all he taught, what it would look like when the kingdom of God comes. And this morning we're going to look at when the kingdom comes, we get fired up for mission. A mission starts to happen through us. So Joe is going to read to us now from Matthew. Just allow the word to just catch you up and inspire you for the people that you know. Amen.
Okay, so I'm reading Matthew 4:17-22. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him.
Come on, well done, Joe. Well read. Woo! You know, it's really important, you know, the little thing. So Joe's got up and she's just read there. And for her, that's a step forward. She challenged someone last week to get involved with what we're doing here. And it's like, you know, it's great to see Joe. You know, that God is growing her bigger than she was before. And it's the same with everybody here. That God wants you to do more than you were doing before. That's the way it works. When the kingdom comes, we grow. And eventually the numerical side will happen. But what I'm seeing, I mean, I'm speaking to a lot of pastors, that are seeing very similar to us, that not everybody is coming back, some are this week, some are next week. It's a very, very difficult time for churches, but what we are seeing is the committed ones are coming in and they're growing stronger. So well done, like Sam says, keep going and we will come out the other side of this and we will be fruitful. Amen. Fruitful. Can I hear a glory to that?
Glory.
Come on, that's good. I just want to do so. I don't want to preach it. Look at that. So anyone remember the day that we went to where was it? Southend, yeah?
Yes.
Anyone enjoy that day?
Yes.
Does anyone recognise this person on here? Can you see it? No. You can't. Oh, right, you can't. Matthew, it's you, mate. Do you want to come and get it? No. Come and get it, yeah. There's a lovely photo there. So I bought one for me because it was just a good photo, but actually I had to. They gave me three. And I looked at the one the other day, and he said, "Oh, look, there you go, it's Matthew. Look at that, look at that. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know Matthew?
Yeah.
So Matthew works in the bank, yeah. And Debbie's been buddying up with him. I've had a chat with him about he's going to lend me £1 million on no interest.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah. Oh, I prayed about it.
That's the only thing you can't
play. Yeah. Oh Lord. Yeah. Listen, I pray for that. But it wouldn't be £1 million, it'd be 10, so we can have our own building. £1 million doesn't go anywhere in London, I'm telling you now. So, praise the Lord. Okay, back to where we was. I've had my break. Okay, so, mission. Mission. Why do we go on mission? How do we go on mission? And when do we go on mission? Well, just imagine, if you had discovered, you was the very person that discovered the complete and utter cure to COVID with a simple little pill with nothing in it more than a few greens or something, nothing to worry about. But you discovered it, or maybe Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or maybe even cancer. You were the one who discovered the cure for that. And you didn't even tell anyone. You thought, no, I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. Just imagine that. That would probably make you a criminal on the likes of Hitler, wouldn't it? It would be terrible for us, yeah, or for you. But the truth is this, is that we have a cure for something far worse than COVID, far worse than cancer. It's a cure for something called sin that rots. It's rotting mankind. It separates us from God. And it puts us on a destiny to a place that is worse than anywhere you could ever think of. You think of the worst day of your life, times it by 1 million. It's 10 times, 1 million times worse than that. It's a place called hell. It's a very real place. The thing is that we do have the antidote. We have the cure for that. It's through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. We have a good news message. The joy of the whole world is to know him. The hope of the whole world is to know him. That he came to forgive us, to give us relationship back with God the Father again, to give us eternal home with God in heaven, and to give us a place in paradise that is better than anything that we could ever think or imagine. If you're down in the dumps today, start focusing on what is to come. What is going to be forever and ever? You're going to be in heaven if you're in Christ forever and ever and ever. With him as our God, better than you could ever think, paradise. My word, what a good news story that is. That's the antidote to all the problems of mankind. And we have that message, which is one of the reasons why we have to go on mission. Let's look to the word of God. And as this passage that we just read there, that Joe just read out there, you know, this is the point at which God was calling out the first disciples. You know, he'd been through the desert. The devil had tempted him and that. And then all of a sudden he'd spent a bit of time with the Father. And he was just going about his daily life. He was walking along. There was no appointment. When Jesus speaks to us, he says, just go. Just go and tell the people that you know. And so he did. He started to call his men And what he said, just get the weight of this, okay? So right away through the Old Testament, from Genesis, it started speaking about the Messiah is going to come, the Son of God is going to come. It's going to be, you know, he's going to transform the world. And what's the first words out of his mouth to people is this: follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Not rich, not powerful, not anything but fishers of men. And you know what they did? They left their boats, they left their nets, they left the jobs that they were doing, where they were on, they left their families. Why? Because Jesus immediately became the most important thing to them in their lives. And then in Luke 19:10. Jesus said it. You know, you think, Jesus, why have you come to earth? God, you've come down and now you're in flesh. Why did you come? What was that all about? And he said this. He said, I've come to seek and save the lost. That's the whole point of Christ. That's the purpose of his life. He came down from heaven on a mission. Praise God for that, because he met me. Praise God for that, because he met you on a mission. That's what his whole focus and purpose was, to save the world from their sin. And then Matthew 24:14 says that the good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world, that Jesus has come, forgiveness has come. It will be proclaimed throughout the world, and then the end will come. Guys, the time is short for us to give our message. The time is really short. And someday it's going to be too late to let our loved ones know, our friends know, that it's going to be over. Jesus is going to flick the towel and go, that's it, throw it in. Like a boxing match, that is over. It's done. It's over. And then it's too late to invite anybody in. There's urgency about this. And then Jesus spoke to the Father just before he went up to see him and be back with the Father. And he said, Father, in the same way that you have sent me on a mission, so I am going to be sending you, John 17:18. So I am going to be sending them. That is us. So he came, showed us what to do. That's his whole life. Then we have to go. He said, now it's you, it's your turn. So you were put here for a reason and a purpose on earth. Not just so that we could do exactly what we want in our lives, although we've got a lot of freedom in that, but that we could be on mission for Jesus. That every single person that God has put your way, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's workmates, associates, they're all put there so that you can let them know about Jesus. I can remember the first time that I witnessed to somebody, didn't even know what I was doing, but I was in a pub because I was in the pub scene then. I was drinking a cup of tea because I'd come to Christ and I didn't want to get wrecked anymore. But all my mates did, because that's what they did. And so I said to them, I'm there drinking a cup of tea, and a lady called Sue walked over. Now, Sue was part of one of the worst crime families about at the time. Her husband was a real rascal, and we'd proper fallen out a couple of years before. But she walked over to me and she went, Clive, what's this? I've heard that you're a Christian. And I went, well, yeah, it's true, Sue. And she went, really? Honestly? And is that a cup of tea you're drinking? I went, yeah, it's a cup of tea. I want to drink it. I want a cup of tea. That's why I'm drinking the cup of tea. She went, I can't believe it. She said, well, the thing is this. She said, my sister has been a Christian forever. And I wanted to be a Christian, she said, but because of my past, because of all that I've been up to, I never thought that God would ever accept me. She said, but if God has accepted you, Clive, don't jump the gun. He'll accept everyone, anyone. And I thought, thanks, Sue, you know. And I thought, yeah, all right, I'll make you right. And I said, well, actually, God will accept you. You know, he just wants people that want to accept him. He loves us. He wants us to love him back. And so God's call today, it was a rally cry. If you were in the meeting yesterday, the prayer meeting, you would have got to know. You would have got to know that that someone brought a prophetic word that said about a rally cry, that God was making a noise, a sound. And we look through the history of the church, you'll see that through the Old Testament interlude, there were different times when God wanted his armies to go to war. There will be a sound. When you think of Jericho, there was a sound. David, wait to go, wait, don't do it yet. Wait to the rustling of the trees. And then when you hear that noise, then you go to war. And then you think of the New Testament, when they were in the upper room, there was a sound like mighty rushing wind. And it was God rallying. And the people, 2,000 people, or maybe 3,000 people, heard that and came and gathered together. And God is making that sound now. It's time for us guys to get out there, and we are to call people in. Just let them know. Let them know. So for some of us, that begins now. That begins right now. And for others, that you have been doing it for a while, but it's time to reap that, to reap the seeds that you have sown. And so, praise the Lord. It's that rally cry. I hope you can hear it in your heart. It's the Spirit of God, and just have a bit of fun with it. It will be difficult. There's a barrier you have to go through. It's called self-conscious. And we have to get through that. On the other side is the joy we see on Colin, because he's got six people that are going to be exposed to the gospel. And praise God, I'm in faith that most of them will come through to Christ. Look at that. And so what do we do? Okay, so here's the thing. Many people out there are like Sue was. They feel that they're not good enough. They're not good enough for God. He would never accept them and love them. And they need someone that is going to say to them, yes, God does love you. You know, God thinks you're amazing. Not this angry God who wants to destroy you with fire. That's not it. We need to get this good news message out there. And so how do we go on mission? Well, we need to start with prayer. Prayer comes first. Paul says in Colossians 4:3, pray for us that God may open up a door to talk about Jesus. And so, guys, what he's saying there, we should be praying for each other. Not just for the person that we're praying, will you come to the Alpha course? No, pray for Colin, pray for Tony, pray for Swaley, Diane, Barry, pray for everybody that God would help and open up a door. Why does he say open up a door? Because without that, it's so hard. But in prayer, we get doors opened up and ways come by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. And so pray for each other. We need God's help. There is an enemy out there that blocks people's ears. It blinds them to the gospel. And God will lift that in prayer. The Spirit of God will lift that. And it's the Holy Spirit's job, get this, to give you opportunities to share the news. It's his job. Our job is to go, okay, I'm going to share with you. I'm going to invite you to Alpha. I'm going to let you know about Jesus. I'm going to let you know we've got the answer to all of your problems. And so verse 6 in Colossians 4 says this, but we are to know how to answer every person. So we don't just get parrot fashion, the same thing to say to everybody. No, we're supposed to know how to answer everybody. So how do we start a conversation? And if you don't get anything else from this preach, please take this, okay? It's a massive key. How do I get in there to share my faith with someone else? How do we do it? First, we listen, we love, and we learn. Just think the three L's. Three, there you go. Look at that. Took a while, didn't it? Right? So we listen, we learn, and we love. So we listen to them. Secondly, is love. But we have to love them, because with non-Christians, they will tell you everything, okay? And you're probably going to listen to things that are going to make you cringe. But love them through it, because God loves them through it. God still loves them. That's what they need to know. But you learn where their struggle is. Learn what is on their heart. Learn what their difficulties are right now. And here's the key. You need to put a name to it. Wherever their struggle is, whatever they're blurting out, whatever their heart is shedding at that moment, We need to put a name. So if they're in debt, know that it's debt. Or if they're a relationship problem, or if it's a fear problem, or if it's a loss problem, they've just lost someone, it will come out. And you think, okay, now I'll put a name to it. I know what it is. And then we do this, okay? Think a 15-second story of how God helped you when you were struggling like that. Yeah, just think of it. It's like, I was speaking to a student. So you get that? You have just 15 seconds to connect with their pain and how Jesus helped you get through that. I was speaking to a student and absolutely lovely girl, Sophie, her name was, beautiful, beautiful, full of life, full of possibilities for her life. But she looked so worried. I mean, you could see the worry on her face and you think, why are you so worried? And I found out she was living in fear that money would run out. It just came out. And so I said very simply, look, when I came to Christ, I had nothing. I had nothing, honestly. But I came to Christ and then I learned from the Bible that he is my provider. And it says in the Bible that doesn't he look after the birds of the air? Doesn't he look after the grass of the field? Look how beautiful they are. How much more worthy and of worth are you? Will God not look after you? And all of a sudden in my heart, I knew it was like that God had kept his promise to me all the days of my life, and he has provided just like he said he would. And that tripped Sophie up into sharing about her life. Why is it that she was so fearful of losing money? Well, the reason is this. She said, Clive, I just remember getting home from school and of a night time my mum and dad were rowing and fighting, and he would have spent all the money on things that he shouldn't spend, and she would say, we're going to lose the house, and we haven't paid the mortgage. And she was so fearful of being thrown out on the street that she had three jobs as a student to make sure she had enough money, as well as do a thing. And I said, look, God will look after you. Just come to Jesus. And the great thing was she gave up one of her jobs. She came to Jesus. And now she's just got one job. That is a veterinary surgeon. Look at that. Because God gave her peace. But it all started from that 15-second bit where I got in there and said, this is what Jesus did with me. Please learn that. That's the hook to get in. Where is your pain? This is what Jesus did for me. He can do that for you. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Clive, that's all right for you, but it's not for me. We're not all gifted the same. We've all got different talents and gifts and, you know, we're different roles in leading someone to Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3:6, that I planted seed, Apollos watered it, but God gave the growth. And so you might be those that are sowing seeds everywhere, the first seeds, the first time someone's ever heard about the Lord. Or you might be a closer like me. You like to take them all the way through if they're ready. Yeah. But whatever your part to play is, you can still tell your story. People love to hear your story. And so I've got a friend called Frances, dear friend, and she is amazing at building relationships. I mean, she cuts people's hair. She'll do anything. But what she does is share Jesus. She will tell people of the wisdom that Jesus had. They'll see the peace on her because she carries the glory. I mean, in a very peaceful way. She is so unassuming, you know. But when you get to talk to her, you think there's something different about you. So she had a whole load of people that knew about Christ that were warm towards her, but she didn't have it in her to reap, to close the deal, to get them to come to Christ. So what we did, we organised a fun day. And on the fun day, I went around just visiting everybody and asking them to come to Alpha. Will you come? Yeah, I'll come. Do you know, I went for it the other day, at least 20 people came to Christ through that, just through Fran's relationship list. You know who's like that sitting in here now? At least one person sitting over there, Colin. Same thing, you know. And that's why we invite people. So that's what I'm saying, guys. It's time to get out there. That rally cry has gone out. God wants us to do that. And so how do we do it? Make friends. You know, God will bring people your way. Realize who your friends are. Know their story. Get to hear them. Love, learn, listen. And know them. Help them. Do whatever. Or give them wisdom. There are people out there who've got such a lack of wisdom. Before I read the Bible, I wasn't imparted with much of that stuff at all. Point them to Proverbs. Point them to the Bible. They will get God's wisdom for life. But then there comes a time we've got to go for it, guys. I mean, there's no shortcuts. We go for it. Now, the way to do it is to weigh up, ask the Holy Spirit where that person is. I honestly know roughly where everybody is that I know in Christ. Whether they're far from him, whether they know him, and how much they're giving their life to him. And my life's message is to help them move along a bit further. And that's what we do. But the Holy Spirit will reveal it. But at the end of the day, we've got to step out and do our bit. But don't worry about what you've got to say. Just tell them your life story. Tell them what you've been through. That's enough. And Luke 12:12 says that the Holy Spirit will give you what to say the moment you need it. I can't tell you how many times that I've witnessed to someone and then I've tried to share what I said with someone. And guess what? I just had a chat and I can't remember what I said. Why? Because it wasn't me that said it. The Holy Spirit will catch you up and he will speak through you. That's the way it kind of works. And trust God. Trust the Holy Spirit that will speak through you. It's supposed to be that way. He will continue that work. It's his job to bring you someone. It's his job to convict that person. And it's his job to convert that person. Trust in him. I had a friend, one still friends, John. He was my workout partner for years, he was. And, you know, it was far from God. I couldn't go on about the God stuff much. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. But John's big thing is he wanted business. That's what he wanted. And he also loved psychology. And so we went on forever about talking about psychology. But, you know, all psychology comes from the Bible, guys. It was birthed about 100 years ago, the idea that you could understand man. Well, they all get their stuff from the Bible. So we spoke about loving our enemies. We spoke about forgiving people. We spoke about if you want to work, if business is going to work, you need good relationships with people. We spoke about plans not doing well if you don't get good counsel. And but it wasn't, we spoke about just about every area of life. But it wasn't that I batted him over the head with the Bible. It wasn't, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, yeah? So we give them the dinner and the salt is the last little bit. If you could think, just get a picture of those that you think might want to come to Alpha with you with a salt pot over the top of them, just pouring salt. Get that picture in your head. And every time you meet someone, you're supposed to be doing that little bit, that little bit. And that's what I did with John. You know, we give him wisdom. He just soaked it up. You know, but a little bit at a time. And then came the day for John to accept Christ, of which he did. And so with that, but do you know what? He didn't come to church. You ever been there? Linda at the back. I know you've seen that many times. Or evangelist up there. It's like you do that. And you so want them to be there. And all of a sudden, they didn't. Have you ever read Jackie Pullinger out there in Hong Kong with her work? So often that happens to her. She gets someone to come to Christ, think they're going to give a testimony the next day. Next day, they're back at it on the streets. And so with that, he didn't. But the Holy Spirit didn't give up on him. The Bible says what God has started, he will finish. And so a few years later, John phoned me up. He'd moved out of the town. He'd gone. He said, Clive, I live in Kent now. And I've got my own driving school business. Everything's going well. He said, but Clive, what I've got to say is I've read book after book on psychology and all that stuff. And it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts because every time I got into the book, he would be saying, "That's what Clive said to me. That's what Clive," because I'm quoting the Bible. And he said, in the end, I had to get the Bible. I thought, I've got to get it. So I've got the Bible. He said, and I love it. He said, I'm reading it all the time now. He said, I've got married. He said, my wife now is a born-again Christian. He said, we've had 3 children. He said, we all go to church every week. We love it. The kids love it. And I'm just praising God for that. Is that a great story? But it took years for that to happen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Come on. So the thing is this, is who are you friends with? Who have you got that salt pot over? Where you're just putting in that little bit each time, knowing the Holy Spirit is going to do his bit. Once you've shared, they can't get it out of their head. God will work on them all the way through to Christ and bringing Christ into their lives. And so how? How do we start to see people? This is the start point. Stop seeing them for how you see them now and start to see them how God sees them. God loves them. It doesn't matter how awkward people are, how different people are to you and me, that God loves every single one of them. And when we start to see them like that, then all of a sudden it changes us inside. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. It doesn't matter how rough and tumble their life has been, how wherever they started from, it doesn't matter. God loves them. And the thing is this, that all of us have got friends and family that need to know. They've got that sickness. And you may be, let me ask that question. If not now, when? If not now, when? And you may be the only person that person knows, that knows the gospel, that knows Jesus. You're the only hope that they have. That's why God has placed you with them. Worst ways, guys. When you share your faith with them, they might not ask you around for afternoon tea again, okay, and cakes and all that. Best ways, you could lead them into a living relationship with the living God. Lead them into a relationship that leads them into heaven, where they're going to be thanking you and praising God for you every single moment of heaven. What a welcome that's going to be. Where, you know, them 6 people, you know, say, however many of them come, that when Colin gets in heaven, they're going to be there waiting, going, come on, praise you, Lord, thank you for Colin. Yeah, you're going to be invited to a lot of barbecues, that's what I know, Colin. Well, that's it. So think of that pulse person. Who is it now that you can invite? The whole of heaven, the Bible says, will rejoice at one sinner that repents. Luke 15:7 tells us that. And when do we do it? One word, guys. What is it?
Now.
Yeah, always. I was, all right, fair enough. That was better. Now. Yeah. Wait for it. Wait till you get out. Always. That's it. Can we stand, please? We have a little bit of a strum. And, you know, I'm going to finish with this, okay? Acts 2 says this, that you're not supposed to do it on your own. That isn't the way it works, guys. We're supposed to do it with the power of the Spirit. Jesus said, through Paul there, is that you will receive the Holy Spirit upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So we're going to ask for that. We're going to ask for the Spirit. Who wants more of the Spirit today? Who wants more of God's presence today? Yeah? Because when we see the disciples came to the Lord with expectancy that God would do something, that God would come upon the prayers of the saints with the power, with the zeal to share faith. And so they said this, God, would you grant us? Speak your word with boldness through us, Lord. Stretch out your hand. You know, not I want to do it. Fill me up to the big I am. It wasn't there. It's God, would you do it through me? Would you give me power? Would you give me strength? Would you give me boldness, God? Would you come upon me? It's your message, not mine. God, would you do it amongst us today? Well, we've still got time to get people on these alphas. And you know what? When they prayed, Jesus showed them physically what he was going to do spiritually. That place that they were gathered in was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask for that now. Let's just raise our hands. God, would you come? Would you fill us with